May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me read a few verses to you. This is from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy art thou, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you did create all things, and for your pleasure they are created. This is Isaiah chapter 62. Speaking of Israel, but about the people of God, whether Old Testament or New Testament, because where Scripture says, as believers, we're the Israel of God. So he says, and the nations will see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You'll no longer be called forsaken, neither will you be called desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in you, and your land will be called married. For the Lord delights in you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. And you will be called sought out, and not a city that's been forsaken. From Jeremiah chapter 10, I love this scripture. Of course, it's hard to not love all of Scripture, right? It's amazing revelation of God in his heart. Woe is me because of my injury or my breaking. My wound is incurable. And of course, that's speaking of the open wounds of Christ that he carries throughout eternity. His heart was pierced for us. But I said, truly, this is sickness and I must bear it. Psalm 69 makes it clear, Song of Solomon, that the sickness he's here, the wound, is God's wounded heart for us, his bleeding heart for us, his love for us. His sickness is his love sickness for us. And it's made really clear in John chapter 19 when Jesus cried out from the cross, I thirst. Before he said it's finished, it was important that God from the cross and the person of Jesus declared how he feels about us. Before he could say it's finished, he said, I thirst for you. The Isaiah passage talks about how he delights in us, how we're sought out, how we're crowned in beauty to him. The scripture, it says, heart. He has a wounded heart in terms of his love for us that it's incurable. His love for us is an incurable love. And then that place I read to you in Revelation chapter 4 is that for his pleasure we were created. Now, having said all that, sort of as a background, let me read to you this place from Acts chapter 17. And this is when the Apostle Paul is in Athens, and he's on this hill where the philosophers all sat and would discuss new ideas and new religious ideas. And they invited Paul to come because they had heard him speaking in the streets about Jesus and the resurrection. And they said, this is a new thing we've never heard, so come, because they like to, it says in Scripture, to talk about new things every day. Sadly, a lot of Christians are like that too. But as Paul has begun to describe who Jesus is, he's talking to the Athenians. He says this, for while I was passing through your city and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I've come to explain to you clearly. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. When I was reading the scripture this morning, the Lord just ministered this to me so clearly. It's an important thing for us to understand about who God is. God is totally self-contained. God doesn't need anything. God doesn't love you because he needs you. In our human relationships with each other, often there's an element of our love for each other because we need each other. It's just part of our brokenness and our fallenness, our insecurity, our dependence on each other. That's why it says in 1 John that, oh, what foreign kind of love is this God has for us? Because it doesn't have nothing to do with need. That's significant for you to understand, because I watch this happen a lot with couples. We were having a conversation just a minute ago. Sometimes first love kind of wanes It kind of goes through ups and downs. But you find yourself with people, you love them. It's not passionately out of control in a wonderful way kind of love, but you've grown to need each other, to depend on each other. That's another word. I love you, and I do have feelings, but I've come to depend on each other. That's not a bad thing, but it has something to do with need. And often in a human relationship, when somebody does something that makes them not very dependable, or it makes them not very useful in a moment, our love for them isn't as strong. But you see, God doesn't love us that way. God loves us because it brings him pleasure. God loves you out of pure want. He wants to love you. He delights in you. The scripture says about David, who didn't always get it right, especially between 18 years old and 45 years old. He blew it several number of times. The last 20 years of his life, he did well. Last 25 years of his life, he finished well. But it's something about David is that David understood all the time whether he blew it or was walking in righteousness, and that is that God cherished him. He always knew that God was for him and that God delighted in him. It's an amazing thing. It says he was a man after God's own heart, and I believe that David actually captured God's heart. There's some things about God's heart, we'll talk about that again tomorrow, that David understood, that David got. And one of the things that David understood is that God delighted in him. It says in Micah 5:17 that God delights in his unending love for us. And so it's not like when you and I do things that make us not very useful to God, because sometimes we put ourselves in a position where God really can't use us because of our sin or our behavior or attitude. God doesn't love us less because we're not as useful. And if you have a performance-based mentality about your acceptance before God, you're going to think that's true, that when you sin, God doesn't love you as much because you're not very useful to him. You've offended him. But the truth is, there's something so desirable about you to God that he cherishes you and loves you and delights in you, period. And it's got nothing to do with your performance. It's got nothing to do with what you do or don't do. It's simply because of who you are. And God loves you because it brings him pleasure. And for his pleasure, he created all things. He created trees, not because he needs them, because he brings him pleasure. But nothing brings him pleasure like you and I. Song of Solomon spells that out very clearly. That means so much to me. Because one of the things I've discovered about human beings, they're always looking for that perfect love relationship where there's somebody in their life who's very significant, who's very desirable themselves, who just loves them because they want to be with them. They want them. It's not because they're dependent on them or need them for something. It's just pure, I just think you're awesome and you're amazing and I love you. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I thirst. I thirst for you so much. I thirst to love you and to satisfy your heart and to bring healing to your humanity so much. We went through all of this suffering leading up to this moment just to show you how much God wants you and longs for you. He could have just started over in the garden when man fell. It was just two people. But it was too late. Because he'd already seen you in his heart, it's called foreknowledge, and he was already in love with you. And nothing could stop him from going to the cross because he wants you and I that bad. Song of Solomon says his love is like a vehement flame, a passionate fire that can't be quenched. Many waters can't quench it. That's who God is. He doesn't love you at any level because he needs you. He loves you because he delights in you. And in your darkest moments, he may not be pleased with your behavior. There may be even times in discipline, in love, he'll discipline you. But he never stops delighting in you. And he finds great pleasure in loving you, even in those times when we don't love him back. And one of the things that brings God great joy, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What Scripture makes very clear, God finds great pleasure in our finding pleasure in his loving us. That's his greatest joy. Song of Solomon says that. His greatest joy is when we take pleasure in the pleasure he has in loving us. Amazing to me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a lot easier to walk in faith than to trust somebody who's like that. Amen. We're not trying to put faith in somebody whose attitude towards me changes in love based on my performance. He just loves you. It's inexplicable.